This is the Hervoy and Moritz Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, hour one. I hope everyone is just peachy. Some quick news for you. In wealthy Dubai now, the poor get free bread from machines. So with the cost of living surging, free hot bread is distributed for the poor through these vending machines. You don't have to pay anything. You just click a button and out comes fresh hot bread or flat Indian style chapatis or pita bread. There is a credit card reader for donations, not payment. I guess you can pay your bread forward. So I guess we can all start getting used to this sort of thing going forward as the economy collapses, as Cobra Commander Klaus Schwab collapses the economy, and we get our nice little UBI cards, and we get free bread from the vending machines. But that's only if you behave, though. So if you're not in line with the whole, ESG, inclusion, diversity, all of that stuff, no, there will be no bread for you, no soup for you. So interesting development out there in Dubai. And we've got this Hurricane Ian coming to Florida. And the head of the Florida National Guard confirmed that guardsmen who are not vaccinated with DARPA gene therapy will be activated in response to this storm. Ah, so you need us now. Yeah, you need the when you need us, when you really need us, you'll take us. And so how interesting. They're calling up the unvaxxed guardsmen. Yeah, interesting. We have, of course, the Nord Stream pipeline explosions. And basically, you've got former Polish defense minister Radek Sikorski basically alluding to the fact that, well, alluding to the U.S. being responsible for blowing up the Nord Stream 1 and 2. And we can go back earlier this year, Victoria Nuland. Basically, she admitted earlier on that they would do something like that. She said, if Russia invades Ukraine one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. So that was January this year, about 9 months ago. And I think in February, we had Biden also saying basically the same thing. So I wonder, I wonder who, maybe it was the Russians. Maybe the Russians blew up their own pipeline. False flag. I don't know. Or, who's usually behind this stuff? So, it looks like some people just really want World War III. We had the Serbian president last week say, in a month or two, we might see something worse on the scale, worse than World War II. So, yeah, fun times indeed. Of course, we've got the referendums in the Donbass and the other breakaway republics ongoing. And from what I've seen, it says in Donetsk and Lugansk, the majority of citizens support the idea of uniting with Russia, 99% in DPR and 98% in LPR. And I think I read similar as well in Zaporizhia and Kherson regions. So they might come back to Mother Russia, those territories, and that would be interesting regarding the nuclear doctrine, where now if Ukraine bombs one of those four newly acquired Russian territories, Russia would, in its mind, then feel free to lob some tactical mini nukes and get the show rolling for, World War III. So we are definitely living in interesting times, and just some human smuggling news. A 24-year-old Arizona woman was charged with crimes related to human smuggling enterprise. She processed over 80 to 100 illegal aliens per month, and she charged $15,000 each. Not a bad, she got $7 million from human smuggling in 6 months. $7 million in 6 months. Really not a bad, not a bad chunk of change. So there's money to be made in the trafficking business from the cartels to Americans. And let me just remind you again that there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio. You can listen through the tntradio.live, the website, via your desktop tablets. You can download the app for your surveillance smartphone device, or you can stream live. You can listen to the stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We got you covered on TNT Radio.
Factual news as you need it.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, returning to the broadcast. It's been a while, but his second outing here is a legal man, lawyer with more than 30 years of practice, and the host of the Quash podcast. Find him on Twitter at US Crime Review. What's happening, legal man?
Oh, not too much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. And again, if people have not heard of you or your podcast, I don't know why they haven't, but again, go find and subscribe to the Quash podcast. And you're having some issues, I see, with Twitter. I've been following a bit some of your commentary. You've gone private. What's going on with your Twitter account?
They screw with me all the time, and they suspend me for all sorts of stuff. I mean, I literally can't do anything. I have to be so careful to run my Twitter account. I mean, it's ridiculous. The last time they suspended me, all I said was in reply to somebody, I said off a cliff, because they were talking about the situation and what was going on. And I just meant the situation is just going off a cliff. They suspended me for a week for that. And, it's like multiple times I've been suspended like that. And so I was getting concerned that I might get a permanent ban kind of thing, you know, a permanent suspension, suspend the account. And so my understanding is if I change it from U.S. Law Review, used to be a legal man at U.S. Law Review. If I change it and now I'm legal man at U.S. Crime Review, that supposedly resets that suspension counter. I haven't figured it out whether it does or not, but I figured it was worth a chance, because if they suspend me again, a big one right out of the bat for nothing, then I'll know it's completely worthless, and I'll just have to get rid of the account entirely, you know. So
what alternatives do we have? I mean, it's important.
None,
it's not
from what I can see. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't see any that are the equivalent. I had people tell me to go over, and I went over and I tried a couple of the other places that are supposedly similar to Twitter. And there's just no activity. There's just nothing there. They've driven everything into there. Now, obviously, you know, you got Instagram, you get all the basics. I mean, I posted a video on YouTube and it immediately got removed. I have one up, I think, that's up. It's probably one they won't remove. Then I got noticed that they actually removed one of my videos that wasn't even public. Like the vast majority of my stuff, I do a live show out of my Patreon account, like once a month, kind of every few weeks. And I keep it private. So you have to have the YouTube address in order to get to it. It's not something the public can find. They went in and removed one of those and warned me for that too. It's like the third time. So that's why I don't develop a lot of additional social media, because they're never going to let someone like me operate. You know, they just never are.
Yeah, I've tried the alternatives as well, like Gab and Minds and Float and MeWe, and there's just no traction. I've only had for like the last year or two, and I post regularly, just a couple hundred followers, and yeah. I think those, they're just not working. They're not gaining enough traction. Maybe Gab with, you know, certain, you know, MAGA crowd or whatever, live in their own, you know.
No, because I went over there and opened a Gab account. And in fact, when I was over there, I was testing it. And, you know, you can look at that open line. And basically, on many times, there would be no new posting at all for 20 minutes. So that means nobody has posted anything outside of those little like group things, which don't even work. But you can refresh and just look and see that there's no activity. And that's consistent with the amount of activity I get on when I go over there. That's why I just determined it's boring. It's a waste of time for me. I thought it was going to be a target-rich environment because, like you said, there's a lot of these kind of MAGA people over there. And those are the kind of people who can kind of be turned with my message. But there's just no activity. It's just I likened it. I think I tweeted out when I got back over there that it reminded me of one of those like the semi-abandoned malls that's going, like most of the stores are closed. it's just kind of weird. There's nothing there. And that's kind of what that place is like to me.
It's like those ghost cities in China.
There so, you go. Yeah. There you go. Which I think they're demolishing now in order to, I guess rebuild them yet again.
I think maybe they're building quarantine camps in their place.
Oh, there you go. Maybe they can just transfer them. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Instead of a condo, you get a, you share it with 10 other people.
That's the future. And, you know, I've chatted with Monica Perez, who's a great podcaster. She said the same things happened to her.
Yeah.
Her private YouTubes were being deleted, and she's just jumped ship to other platforms like Rockfan. And you know, for people who create like video and audio content, some of the other like content platforms, not like Gab and Float and that stuff, Minds, but Rockfin and Odyssey, you can have success there.
Yes.
And it's and it's funny you mentioned
they work
Patreon
a lot better, I think, for that. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, for like video and audio versus the social media stuff.
Yeah, I think for just putting stuff out. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's one of the reasons, in fact, I have Patreon. Everybody complains and bitches at me about my Patreon. Oh, I don't want to support Patreon. Okay, whatever, dude. I can only do so many different things. I'm not that tech savvy. But one of the things I do over there is I don't put any of my stuff that's on Patreon is public. Even though there's inside there, there's a lot of different kind of shows that are, in fact, public. If you go to Patreon, you can't hear any of them. And I did that intentionally so that they don't have any bots and, kind of scrolling bots and people trolling that thing, trying to find something to then report somebody. So that's the fact of the reason I did it. So I end up losing, I'm sure, business as a result. I don't care because I won't make the podcast forever anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we're on the chopping block, and it's funny because I wouldn't be able to support you because I'm banned from Patreon and I'm banned from PayPal. So I couldn't, even if I were on Patreon, I couldn't.
Right. This is like how crazy it is. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I told the people with regards to Twitter, I'm like, look, I see these people, they get permanently suspended. They violate. It's like, I'm not going to do that because if you're permanently suspended, then any account you attempt to open is a ban evasion and they'll automatically shut it down. Even if I just decide to run like an account where I just monitor stuff and kind of friendly troll people and even say it on private, I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to risk that because I like Twitter. It's stupid, of course. It's got a bunch of idiots, but I've got a bunch of funny people that I know on Twitter who are in my Twitter sphere, and it's a really great way to get all sorts of stuff and to interact with people who get it. And there's nothing like it, because I don't do Facebook and I don't do and Instagram's completely different, and all those other ones are. So there's really no substitute for something like Twitter. So I want to avoid getting suspended permanently. I'm not going to get suspended. I'll give up my account and start a whole new one before I do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a love-hate relationship. Like, I hate it, but it's so useful because you can glean so much quality information depending on the people you follow and the people they follow with regarding what's going on. And you can interact with some of these people. And
so much.
It's been very valuable.
There's nothing like it. There's nowhere to get news that's better than Twitter once you understand how to use it. No way. It's definitely the best place. And I get a kick out of it because I have to run my Twitter account very differently than I did for a long time, mostly because, like I said, it just doesn't work. And I've also just kind of fool around and have fun. I just use a lot of sarcasm and reverse comments that avoids the trouble. But like I said, there's a lot of funny people in there. And so I like it. Of course, there's a lot of junk on there because there's a lot of junk being produced, but it's interesting to me to watch the junk because watching the junk has a tremendous amount of value too. Just seeing what it is they're promoting and putting out there and expect people to start sucking in and believing. That's very helpful, even though I don't accept or believe any of it because I know it's all nonsense. It's still helpful to know like, oh, this is what they're pushing now. This is the latest thing. Gotcha.
But when I say love-hate, I also mean the fact that it's basically a NATO information operation. You know, it's part of the military-industrial complex, Twitter, and you know, it mines our data. It sees what we like, what we don't bookmark, what we retweet.
Oh, of course.
And in that sense, I'm wary of it. But again, I'm gonna keep using it until they deplatform me. So
there you go. I think that's wise.
Yeah. You know, to get your thoughts maybe on where you see us on the medical tyranny front, the COVID-1984 front. I've been traveling recently, and it seems for now they're winding things down. I was in Croatia, and then there were no face masks there. Everything was basically normal. Canada just, you can go now, now we can visit Canada without being jabbed. And, you know, finally, even in Mexico, the masks, I think in 2 or 3 days are going to be, you're not going to need it anywhere, not even for public transport or airports. And so, they're doing this, but I'm still suspicious. Like, what are they going to pull on us next? How are you yeah. seeing the current, what's the current state of COVID-1984 as you see it?
For me, the big legacy there is that, you know, now the precedents are all set and everybody is sitting around, even having a conversation like this, right? The conversation is not, well, are these people all going to prison for the rest of their lives who pulled this crap? It's not, well, obviously that can never happen again. And in fact, anybody who even tried it again would definitely immediately be dragged out, you know, and taken to task. There's not any discussion about that. So that tells me that the entire operation was a success because they have things very, very, very long timelines they look at. So here they shocked the world. They flipped it upside down, got all these idiots wearing masks and taking these jabs and hiding in their homes and all this other stupid crap and having their businesses destroyed. And they stand around, they think it's for public health and they get caught over and over in these lies and all this stuff they hid. And what's the end result? Here we are, right? 2.5 years later, having a discussion about, well, gosh, I wonder if they're going to bring it back or what will happen, because we all know they can do it anytime they want. So they can do it anytime they want. And this, and every kind of precedent, the fact that it doesn't have to even be real has now been set, that half the people can know it's not real and they can still be forced to do it. So are they going to let it die down? I don't know. It's obviously dying down right now. They're just kind of basically claiming all these people that have long COVID and all these myocarditis and all this other miscellaneous crap that's now suddenly and unexpectedly and baffling and all this other crap. You know, all that stuff is pretty clearly just associated with the fact that you gave all these people an experimental jab and you're not allowed to talk about it. And so it's kind of, not again, another open secret. All of the financial incentivization that they did to the hospitals and the doctors to make people take jabs and give these phony baloney diagnoses and put people on the ventilators and feed them remdesivir and keeping quiet anyone who talks about anything alternative and taking their license and scaring them and banning them. None of that stuff's been addressed. And so they're ready to do it again anytime they need to. And so, you know, I just look around and I just say, how could, if you were in charge, say you'd been like the CEO of the COVID program and your job was to prep the world for basically, you know, the next phase of total control. And you were sitting in front of the board giving a presentation, you think they'd be happy with your results? Yeah, I think they'd be ecstatic, probably way beyond their wildest dreams. And so it's hard to imagine a scenario they could have run in the last 2.5 years that could have ended up in a better place than what they did, to me. You know what I mean? I don't think realistically you could have done it and done much better than they did.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I was recently flying, and especially in Mexico, for some reason, people like masks, maybe in as opposed to some other places, but right. I always put a sticker on my mask, you know, because you got to wear it on the plane. Well, you're on the plane, like you got to wear the masks. This uh-huh. time they weren't so strict, but it's like, and they have these reminders that say, make sure the mask is on over your nose, and it's like, okay. But then they come to serve you food. They come serve food, and everyone takes off yes. their masks. Well, that right there, that defeats the whole purpose. It's like we lost, you know, because we removed the masks to eat,
right?
Then there was no purpose for them in the first place. So we all go on with this exactly. charade. And I have a
never
stick.
Made any sense that you could sit down, you know, you could sit down and eat, but if you stood up and went to the restroom, you had to put it back on. And I brought it up to people many times. Well, what about little people that are only about 3 feet tall? They're about as tall as I am when I'm sitting down. Why do they have to wear a mask? I don't understand. Why can't they go maskless? Why can't kids go maskless? If the lower areas or something when I'm sitting, and it makes no sense. And, you know, to me, the problem with all the travel and the masks, it's you travel now and it's like, well, you make a plan. Most people don't travel on business. You know, there's a lot of business travel, but people aren't concerned about that because you can get all these exceptions and everything else. But if you want to go on someplace for a vacation, you've got to plan it for the most part. Most people can't just drop everything, leave for a week next week and fly on a private jet. That doesn't work. You have to plan it out. Well, nobody can know what the rules will look like in 6 weeks or 8 weeks. you know, because they could bring in some new phony baloney thing. If you got to plan out because you got kids and you got to plan it around some, you know, school break kind of thing 3 months from now or something. Well, how can you have any confidence in any of that at this point? So that's the problem I have. Even once you're there, you're going to be there for 2 weeks. Well, what happens if something breaks out during 2 weeks? Maybe you get stuck there. They lock you in. Maybe you got to leave your vacation early. It's just they've put that wild card in there, you know.
Yeah, it's like Total Recall. We got to jump to our first break again. Legal Man's podcast is the Quash podcast, which you can find online. You can subscribe to his Patreon and find him on Twitter at US Crime Review. We'll be right back on TNT.
You should hear what Mark Morano is talking about.
There are calls throughout Europe, Canada, the United States, Australia, and the once free West to nationalize all these energy industries. We'll start with that. Why is that? Well, because the free market failed. Look at this. We have shortages. We have high prices. We have people scrounging for firewood in Europe. We have, in fact, the most insane article this week was Yahoo Finance. Firewood is the new gold. Prices shift and theft jump in Europe as Russians' gas cutoff boosts wood demand ahead of winter. 1,000% increase in European energy prices. Another article, New York Times, crippling energy bills force Europe's factories to go dark. Now, we've talked on this program before about what is causing these shortages. And it is the Green New Deal. It is the net zero. It is the United Nations. It is the World Economic Forum climate goals, which have been choking off energy for decades in Europe. They're further ahead in the United States. And this is where we're headed now rapidly in the United States.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
A cashless society means zero cash. No car boot sales, no markets, no tooth fairy or piggy banks, no saving cash for a rainy day, no buying anything with privacy. Digital currency means every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Legal Man, host of the Quash podcast. Find him on Twitter at US Crime Review. And I wanted to get your further thoughts on the situation in the USSA, the United Soviet States of America. I've been waiting on the next Q drop. They say Hillary Clinton has been arrested. I'm just kidding. But, you know, what sort of your thoughts on where we are? We had Biden give the V for Vendetta speech some weeks ago, saying half of us are terrorists. And yeah, things just overall look, dark clouds are on the horizon, and they just don't look good. Where do you see us at?
Yeah, I mean, they've really amped the kind of level of show up to another level as a result of this whole COVID thing. And, you know, COVID is the same as this stuff. And that is that it's all about the structures that they have in place. It's people get so lost. They're all dragged off by these constitutional conservative guys who pretend to be for freedom, and they drag them off in these little details and ditches, a daily this and daily that, and what somebody said here. None of that stuff matters. Those people all come and go, and nothing ever happens to them. The problem is the structure, and, you know, like the structure we've got now in place allows people to imagine that there's this group of people, Joe Biden and some other jokers up there, most of whom are unelected, who somehow have the authority to say stuff behind closed doors, make decisions, and that 330 million people's lives can get changed and directed and everything else just a result of these people. And it's such a fantastic brainwashing that people have undergone when you start thinking about it. If some people, like say some old people, one of these, let's just say one of these memory care facilities, if they like to meet sort of like Joe Biden in his cabinet, if those people were meeting and they were coming out and they were announcing all sorts of things that we have to do and they're going to do and initiatives and they're handing out billions here and billions, everybody would just ignore them, right? Because they do like, oh, this is just dementia patients. We don't really need to worry about them. But instead, you call it government. You put a big fancy flag and a seal and all this different crap and brainwash people their entire lives. And people actually imagine that this old guy and these jokers, they just get to kind of decide something. And then we all have to do it. It's that the world could be at war. It's ludicrous. I don't even have anything against these people. How can I possibly be at war with them? But that's the fantastic brainwashing that's gone on. And that to me is the interesting part, the daily back and forth. Well, they're going to do what they do. But if people understood that this stuff can just be ignored, that it's all nonsense, that the idea that they have any of this authority to do that, that we run the risk that they're talking about, that at any point this thing could happen, that Putin could blow us up or we might be in a war or something. Well, if people understood that that's just nonsense, there's no reason to be in a system like that, then there'd be no threat. And then it wouldn't matter how much control they had over the media and everything else, because nobody would be buying into their nonsense. And so to me, that's a message that's worth trying to get through to people. But it's a message that I'd say 99% of the time, it just falls on deaf ears. It just always does. I mean, I get the exact same thing every time. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I get it. But what about, who do you think, DeSantis or Trump? It's like, dude, did you hear what I just said? It's fake.
Well, I mean, that brings up something that I saw yesterday and on Twitter. Again, it was an account from, I guess, some trans guy. He's got like 215,000 followers, some trans dude. I don't know what, but somehow it appeared in my feed. But I scrolled through his feed and his or her, I don't know what, but anyways, he actually made some good points. He was, you know, attacking the Republicans. And, you know, and I'm a conservative. I'm all for the traditional things. I'm totally not on board with trans or you know, any of these things. But he had a good point because he was pointing out the hypocrisy. And these people that you were talking about, these nominal, let's say, Republicans, and he's just going through the list and making these little, like, cards where, you know, talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, and she's, again, I don't know if this is true or not. This could just be gossip, but like he's alluding to the fact that, and all these Republicans are, you know, they're voting for marriage and all of this stuff. And they're all like, he lists all of these representatives that have been divorced and remarried like three or four times. They've cheated. And it's just like, well, yeah, I mean, he's got a point. If you're going to speak out against this stuff, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And I don't really see them serious. You know, these Republican representatives.
They're hypocrites. They're liars. They're controlled opposition. They're not legitimate opposition. See, this is the problem. People just can't accept that. They cannot accept that that is not actually a legitimate system. It is the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals. That's what Washington is. It's the old adage about if you only have one lawyer in town, he goes broke. And if you get another lawyer, they both get rich. They need each other. They need to be able to point each other, blame each other, stir up their so-called base. They need all that. But the idea of these conservatives or Republicans, or they're not anything. Everything they do is unconstitutional. They all support that corona crap. There's no such thing as a national emergency in the Constitution. They don't have any authority to grant that. Trump did. He did it anyway. Why? Because they don't follow the Constitution. There's no constitutional authority to run something called the CDC and take control of diseases. It's idiotic. Nobody would ever give that to the government. But they do it. The constitutional conservatives support it. They spent trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. They handed it out to the blue states, bailed out them all, gave all this money, $40,000 basically for any kind of COVID diagnosis in the hospital, put them on those stupid ventilators. See, all that stuff's totally unconstitutional. All of it is. And so they support all this stuff, this gigantic police state, the CIA, the FBI. Those things aren't constitutional. Nobody would agree to have the federal government. We have to finance whatever amount of secret police they want to have to keep secret records on us and keep everything, every keystroke at Langley. And none of that's constitutional. There's no authority to do any of it in the Constitution. So I don't respect those people that are the constitutional conservative politicians because they're liars. They say they're for freedom and liberty, but you can just look at their record and see they're not. The liberals, of course, they're psychotic. They want the government to take over. Regular liberal voters, they love that. They want government. They want a nanny state. They want to basically use the proxy violence of government to take my stuff and your stuff and then to give it to themselves or their friends. And nobody's ever agreed to any of that. See, nobody's ever agreed to any of this, but the liberals, they tell us the truth. And the reason I don't care and I don't do any analysis for the most part of liberal media figures is because they're just blatant liars, and what they push doesn't matter because their audience is unreachable. But constitutional conservatives in media, their audience is reachable. They're the people who want liberty and freedom and small government. Okay, that's those people, they're my people, but they don't know they're my people because they've been drained off into this ditch of constitutional conservatism for so long. And that's why the constitutional conservatives do so much damage in media, because they take the people we need, and we don't need that many. And they drain them all off. And there's tons and tons of people who we could get who don't even listen to constitutional stupid jokers on media because they're so much more cynical about it. They know the whole thing's rigged. And we could also get them too, because they're actually very conservative. The country's really ultimately pretty conservative. You know, as fast as they are, they're bringing in these jokers, these Kalergiites, and these trans jokers, and they're pushing it all down our throats, and nobody wants any of it. But if you just go around and talk to most people outside of these concentrated urban areas, they don't want any of this stuff. They're very conservative. That's just the reality.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, when you leave the urban areas, and not just in the U.S., and in most countries in the world, and I've lived in half a dozen of them. We got to jump to our news break. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Heavy rain and winds are set to batter parts of the UK, with temperatures set to fall to 6 degrees overnight as they expect winds of almost 50 miles per hour to strike Brighton and Scotland on Friday. 200 UK scientists and doctors have signed a petition asking the government to pause the child COVID vaccine campaign. A judge in Spain has ordered the pop star Shakira to go on trial for tax fraud. She could get up to 8 years in prison.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
So just going back to what you're saying as the way forward, it's not left, it's not right, the voting, you know, it's all rigged. And over the past 2 years, a common denominator sort of conclusion that I've been coming to with many of my guests is like, so what do you do? And, you know, most people seem to be fleeing urban areas, going to rural areas, unplugging from the system as much as they can, and, you know, trying to make their rural areas unplugging from the system as much as they can, and, you know, trying to make their own food. And, you know, this sort of thing, and then forming a local community or network within which to interact. It's like, so what are some of your ideas like going forward? What do we do? How do we adapt, push back, and whatnot?
I get that people want practical solutions, and I've got some. I've done a couple of shows on what we can actually do within the stupid fake constitutional system we have that doesn't require a constitutional amendment. See, the constitutional conservatives, they drag everybody off into this idea of an Article 5 convention and then a new amendment. Well, dude, we already got amendments. They ignore them. I don't understand. What is it going to do? We're going to put a "we were serious last time" kind of amendment in the Constitution so they actually really double secret have to follow it. It's a waste of time. They're once again, they're controlled opposition. The answer, the best way to fight back and push back is through the jury trial process, which has also, again, been massively and completely distorted. And the people are totally brainwashed about. And the constitutional conservatives are, again, the spear point of the con. And they push this concept that the, you know, the judge tells you the law and the jury is just supposed to be this weird conglomeration of people who know nothing about anything and just sit there in a vacuum and take in this limited information the court tells them and then go into a room and answer a couple of these weird, very legally scripted questions with legally scripted. That's all nonsense. See, that's all total nonsense. The purpose of the jury is that the jury itself is probably the most fundamental political piece we have in this country. And people don't understand it as a political piece because it's been so distorted. But it, you have a right to it in the Constitution for a reason. And that is that, look, if the people are in charge of the jury, in other words, the people get to decide what evidence gets to be heard, the people get to decide whether or not this thing the government's written down, these corrupt jokers wrote down, is something that they think is a criminal act that needs to be punished. See, you don't get any choice like that. But as soon as you take those kinds of things away, like in Texas, the jurors aren't even entitled to understand the outcome, the impact of the answers they give to jury questions. So they don't even know who's supposed to win after they've answered. Think how stupid that is. Think how distorted that is. Think how much justice is distorted by all of that. And so if people understood, and it's why I've done this series on Spooner's trial by jury, and a lot of people, they don't know him. They know Lysander Spooner. Most people don't even know him. But the few people who do know Spooner, they know Spooner mostly for No Treason, where he proves that the Constitution has no authority. And he wrote it after the Civil War to try to protect people who they were trying to convict for turning on the government, so-called treason and all this other nonsense. There's no treason. But his other book, his other essay, and he's got a bunch, is called Trial by Jury. And I personally think it's his most important essay. It's longer, it's more complicated, but I've been doing a series. I think I'm at like 23 episodes. I probably have about, I don't know, probably another 4 or 5 to finish it. I'm really close to the end, but it's a lot of dense material. And I read it and I comment on it so that people can understand it. Because you see, if the people are in charge of the jury, then you don't, it doesn't matter what laws they write. It doesn't matter what laws they do. They can't enforce them. See, they can't enforce them. And think how that could have played out with this ridiculous COVID nonsense, right? With the vax this, the mask, the close your business. You could have just ignored it all. Could have just ignored it all because it's completely and totally impossible they ever could have gotten convictions. See, because the way the jury's structured is that you're supposed to have 12 random people in the community come in and they have to unanimously agree. See, that the unanimously, if one person says no, they get a veto, you get a mistrial, you cannot get a conviction. Think how powerful that is. Think about someone like me or you. Every position I hold, for the most part, is a minority position. Any and every kind of position you bring up, in all likelihood, I hold a minority position, a very, very obscure minority position for lots of them. On the major issues, when there's only a couple and the country's relatively split, I may or may not be in the minority. But for the most part, I'm in the minority. So the idea of voting and somehow getting somebody, me having to sacrifice all these different things that I don't believe in order to get some other joker, it's useless. See, a minority gets no representation in our system, none. Who would ever agree to a system where I'm going to get no representation, where my view can never carry the day? That doesn't make any sense. But see, with a jury, the way it's set up, you go down there, 1 in 12, that's just 8.25%, basically. So when you have all the way down to 8.25% and you don't get to strike people off all the time, they strike them all the time, the state, oh, you can't be fair. Well, the state needs to clean its act up. Of course I can't be fair because I've had interaction with cops and they're crooked as hell. And the DA sucks and they're crooked. I've worked down there. So there's tons of people who know people like that. And well, what happened? They get on the jury and guess what? You don't get struck. You go, I don't believe that cop. I don't believe this thing, not guilty. And they would know that, see? So you could never, ever get a conviction. And there's tons and tons of laws on the books right now that are dead letter in every single jurisdiction. Stupid, crazy laws in the 1900s, 1800s that nobody even knows are still on the books. They don't get enforced. They're in effect dead letter. Technically there, but utterly unenforceable. And that's what happens, see, when you have juries that understand what they can do. Imagine if you had to get unanimous agreement of 12 random people who don't trust the cops. Do you think you could ever get any drug convictions for possession? No way. No one's going to, you're never, ever going to get 12 people, random people in an urban area to convict on that. No chance. There's always going to be people against it. Same with the gun laws, all these made up gun laws. Same with all these tax laws, these made up tax laws where they single you out, make you pay more than someone else. We all see it. They don't have to pay. Okay. Well, you couldn't convict. See, you couldn't convict. That's the purpose for the jury, so that the people remain in control of the government. They get to decide what the laws are. Yeah, you have this system going on and it's a joke and it runs. But the reality is, it's like the people at the dementia house. It's here. If they came up with some random good ideas, maybe you'd enforce them. But you know that you don't have to. And if the people are instructed, that is the reason there's a jury trial. That's the reason. It's a political way to keep the government in check. If you cannot get agreement of the people, as opposed to 50.1% of some rigged up election like they have now, where it's like, well, now elections have consequences. You got to live with it. Well, elections shouldn't have consequences when it comes to basic rights and equality. You see, they shouldn't. That's another thing that confused people on. And even if you just look at the election, right, half the people don't vote. So at best, the normal election is 25-26% of the people have voted for something. So they're in a distinct minority. So nothing they pass should ever be binding. But they've set this crazy system up. And so imagine when you start looking at it, that really maybe 26% or so of the people are kind of in favor of whatever this thing was they call a law. Okay, so that's 75% basically aren't. What do you think the odds are you're going to get one of those 75% out of your 12 on the jury? They're through the roof. And that's the point, that virtually nothing the government does would be enforceable. Virtually nothing they do. Now, you still get convictions for murder and rape and robbery, stuff that people actually need protection from. But you could not enforce any of this other made up stuff. And that calls for a tremendously fundamental reworking of people's mindset and narrative that constantly gets reinforced the wrong way through constitutional conservatism. And I was a constitutional conservative for decades. So it's not like I'm speaking out of turn. I know all of their arguments because I believed them all until I discovered the truth about 20 years ago. And so, you know, that's just the way it is. So if people want to know, that's what you do. Because just think about what you could do in a small area, right? If, say, you live in a mid-sized city, you could go out and educate people about juries and their actual rights. And you could know that a huge amount of the laws in a conservative area, they're never going to get enforced. See, they're never going to get enforced. All these made-up things with the guns and the drugs, and none of that stuff would be possible. The vax and the mask and the clothes, none of that would be possible. You could never, ever get convictions. And so you can just ignore those laws. And then once they know that, then the sheriffs, they don't even try to enforce it. The cops know, the DAs. See, the system all falls apart as soon as the people are aware of their actual rights. And that's why they have this fantastic, elaborate, multi-billion-dollar controlled opposition scam running called constitutional conservatism that keeps people from ever finding out the truth. And why we don't really need that many people. If we got even 3-5% of the population to be aware of what I try to explain to people, the system would immediately start cracking apart, like immediately. And it would snowball so fast, there'd be no way to stop it. No way to stop it. And they know that, you know,
Yeah, those are some great points, and as well as how the local aspect is very important. We got to jump to our last break again. The Legal Man is host of the Quash podcast. Go and find it, as well as find him on Twitter at US Crime Review. We'll be right back on TNT.
Have we reached the Book of Revelation's end times? Is climate change driving the end of the world? Many college professors say so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Peace Professor Michael Clare of Hampshire College had the following to say in Salon Magazine. If our Earth continues heating at its exponential rate, our post-apocalyptic fantasies could become everyday realities. And here's the real apocalypse. Get ready. Here's what he said. We envisioned rising temperatures, prolonged droughts, freakish storms, hellish wildfires, rising sea levels, food riots, mass starvation, state collapse, mass migrations, and conflicts of every sort up to including full-scale war could prove even more disruptive and deadly. Persistent drought and hunger will force millions of people to abandon their traditional lands and flee to the squalor of shanty towns. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what your children are being taught at so-called institutes of higher learning. take back your kids' education from professors like Michael Clare at Hampshire College. No more climate apocalypse. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A Rasmussen Report survey of 1,000 likely U.S. voters conducted in March 2022 found 52% of voters thought it likely that cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. 40% of voters thought that it was unlikely. Breaking this down further, 33% said cheating was very likely, 19% said somewhat likely, and 13% said somewhat unlikely, and 27% saying it was very unlikely. This contrasts with news media claiming there is no evidence of vote fraud. A broad range of people believe that there was significant vote fraud. Men, women, all age groups, whites and non-whites, Republicans, those who are neither Republicans nor Democrats, all income groups except those making over $200,000 per year, all educational groups except those who went to graduate school, and all job categories.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. The UK government controls the internet. Disagree with what government is saying, and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to ofcom.org.uk. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Legal Man, host of the Quash podcast, do go out and find it and listen to it. It's hilarious, and his Twitter is at US Crime Review. You can also support him on Patreon. And just to what you were saying before, the authorities being corrupt, the cops corrupt. I had a funny interaction as I was going through the border control in my other homeland of Croatia, and you know, I come up and I'm like, do you want my Mexican passport or my Croatian? And he takes my Croatian. and then we had a little conversation. He was interested in me living in Mexico. And then he's like, he admitted, he's like, yeah, how is it in Mexico? Is it corrupt there? And I just laugh. I mean, everyone knows. It's like, of course the government's corrupt. They work with the cartels. But then he just outright says, you know, the Croatian government is so corrupt. And I'm like, I know. They try, you know, there were people who tried to steal our home in Croatia, which included corrupt corrupt police officials, and you know, in every single office, the legal office, because there's this mafia, right? And so it's just like, right. But it's so funny that the border control in Croatia, Croatian officers just saying, we're so corrupt. And it's just like, yeah, everywhere. It's just so corrupt. And some of the examples you've been tweeting, just to go back to the U.S., and I've been following as well, my mayor, because I'm from Chicago originally, Lori Lightfoot, apparently, right. you were trolling her, but she removed the press credentials from a reporter who was asking her tough questions. I mean, that's like, you know, something they do in, I don't know, Venezuela or something right. like that. And then you were looking at California. You were saying you don't understand how businesses function in California. It's clear that people can simply walk into your store, grab whatever they want, and walk out without any consequences. And if you right. try and stop them, you get in trouble. How can this work? So, you know, everywhere from California to Chicago, it's becoming like a right. third world, you know, banana republic.
Yeah, it's clear they're doing it intentionally. I mean, this is another one of these kind of structural things where it's like all over the world, the people have been completely brainwashed in this idea that there's this thing called government that they must obey that has these, you know, constitutional this and that, and it's set up, and then they hold these phony baloney elections and only some people are going to vote, and then they get voted in, and then they do anything they want, even if they don't do anything. If they do stuff that's totally unconstitutional, there's literally nothing you can do about it. In this country, it's Article 1, Section 6. It basically gives them full immunity for anything they do up there. They can just pass on constitutional laws. I tell people that all the time. All you hear, if you listen to this ridiculous constitutional kind of talk radio, watch it on TV or whatever, just say, oh, Democrats, unconstitutional, that, and fall, Republic this, and falling apart that. It's like, dude, what are the consequences? See, what are the consequences to saying that something is unconstitutional, doing something that's unconstitutional? What is the consequence if it's so-called unconstitutional? Nothing. See, nothing at all happens to any of the people who do it, any of the people who enforce it. Nothing happens. They just keep doing it, like all this COVID crap. She says, no. So it's just empty words that they drive. Then they drive everybody into sending money to these phony baloney organizations and different people who then vote. And then what happens when we do finally supposedly get a majority at the House, the Senate, and the presidency? Nothing happens. You hear about how we didn't get the right people. We got to get rhinos, and there's this person and that, and they can't do it because of this reason and that reason. They never mass repeal stuff, have these Democrats arrested for all the unconstitutional crap they complained about. It was 8 years of complaining about Holder and all his criminal behavior and crap they hid, and the Fast and Furious and the abuse of the IRS. And all. What happened? Nothing happened. They go off to become multimillionaires. That's what happens. And so they just change the narrative the next one. Oh, Clinton did this and oh, that. And oh, now this. And oh, now it's Biden that. It's always the same thing. There's no consequences. See? So that's why I don't get involved much in the day-to-day stuff. I try to explain to people that if they really want solutions, they have to come to grips with the fact that this fantasy they have in their mind about the United States, the Constitution, the freedom machine, that all has to go. See, that all has to go. And the vast, vast majority of people are not willing to give that up. They're not willing to. And so, you know, they say they want an answer, but they don't really. It's like someone who's in an abusive relationship and you tell them, look, dude, you got to leave, man. You know, you got to leave. This is never going to change. You know, she's an alcoholic or she's a drug addict. She's in and out of jail. Your kids are at risk. You're all trying to manage it and make excuses for it. You don't want to face the fact you're in a relationship that needs to end. And that's the situation with most of the people in the United States. They believe in the fairy tale they've been taught since they were born. That gets pumped into their heads every single day in 1,000 different ways of media. The United States freedom machine, that's got some bad people. We got need to so-called get back to the Constitution and back to this and back to the founders. They go on and on and on, all these Barnum statement nonsense. And the people are so brainwashed about it, they just literally cannot accept the facts that are staring them in the face, that for 240 years, this so-called country government has moved in exactly one direction. Grow, 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 grow. Rights shrink, shrink, shrink. Taxes grow. Control grows. Regulation grows. Debt grows. We're at war all the stinking time. They can't face the fact that that's been the result of so-called voting under the Constitution, that we are here because we voted under the Constitution. They just don't want to admit that. You tell them that. They go, well, it's not because they ignore it. Well, dude, then the government has no authority. Why do you obey it? Why do you obey it if they're so far outside of their authority? Like I hear if you listen to conservative radio or any kind of TV, there's no basis to obey them. But who is the biggest pusher of law and order and tell to the judge and got to respect this and that office? The constitutional conservatives, who then, on the other hand, tell you how it's all totally unconstitutional. It's completely nonsensical. And like I said, I believed it for years until I figured it out. And now the scam is so transparent. It's just preposterous to me that anybody can continue to believe it after what we just went through for 2.5 years. It's just, I don't get it. You know, it's a mental disorder.
Yeah. When the pandemic hit, I just completely lost any ounce of faith in political institution, whichever party and whichever country, you know, I was here in Mexico, and you see just mayors, governors, federal officials just, you know, becoming total dictators and doing things outright illegal. And they're even talking about the state governor in Mexico was saying, oh, well, it's illegal to force vaccination, but you know what? We've put together a team, you know, of experts, technocrats. We're looking to rewrite the state constitution to make it legal, to make mandatory vaccination legal. And then he's talking about requiring it for entering or exiting the state. And it's just like total insanity. We got about 3 minutes or less left. You've also been talking about the new Italian prime minister. And at first glance, you know, we thought, okay, oh, maybe she's an anti-globalist. And it's like, no, you see her talking about she's totally on board with the Ukraine agenda, with the NATO agenda. And there's a clip, I think you posted it, but others have pointed out how she was supporting like digital ID or COVID passports.
Absolutely.
So, again, they've fooled us, no?
Right. It's always the same. And that's what I'm saying is, as long as you're inside that narrative, as long as you're still believing in that fantasy that there's so-called opposition parties in any of these countries, there's not. All the opposition is that has any traction at all is 100% controlled. And the vast majority of the opposition, even when it's splintered up like that, is still all 100% funded by the state when you get down the roots. It's called nonlinear disinformation. It's a very common way of propagandizing where you finance and support every conceivable kind of position so that nobody can figure out what's going on. Tons of people will give up and it's just a giant confused ball. And if you just look at the media, you look at anything that's happening, you can just see that that's what they're engaged in. They take any amount of money they want from us at gunpoint, throw us into any amount of debt they want, then spend it any way they want in secret. That's why I did that whole series on national security. There's literally no basis whatsoever to keep secrets like that from the people. And what they just spend it on anything. And then you get this crazy sort of array of political parties and positions. And there's no way to sort it out for average people. That's why you have to go to the heart of it, which is the structure.
Well, you better enjoy the Texas barbecue before they make us eat the bugs. Again, let us know where are the best places to find you and support you.
If you can get me on Twitter, because I'm still private waiting for the movie to come out, you can find me. I'm Legal Man at U.S. Crime Review. You can look up my podcast, The Quash. Those are probably the easiest ways to find me. And I don't even know if I'm that easy to find at this point on Twitter, because like I said, I'm private.
All right. We've got 15 seconds left. Thank you, as always, Legal Man, for joining me. I love your work, your commentary, and we'll be right back after this break.